In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of God's Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. We continue down our path of the Beatitudes. You remember last week, we did Beatitude number 1 and number 8, which both end, "For theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And we talked about how it is a good thing to be poor in spirit, because that is when we realize just how much we depend on God and God's presence in our lives. And we talked about blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness, and how when somebody is trying to tell us to hush, especially as far as the proclaiming of the truth of the gospel that we know, boy, we must be doing something right, because Satan will always try to make us hush. Darkness will always try to overcome the light. But we know and we hold on to that the light cannot be overcome by the darkness, right? So this week, we go with Beatitude number 2. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Now, when we think about mourning, when we think about what it is to mourn, by and large, most of the time, we think about bereavement, right? When we think about mourning, we think about mourning someone we have lost, some opportunity that we have lost, something that has died away from us, whether it be an opportunity, a lifestyle choice, or in fact, a loved one. When we think about mourning and what it is to mourn, we think about just think about that for a minute, the pain, right? The empty chair at the table. On this Mother's Day, we think about the moms who are not there, or the relationships with our mothers who are not there. We mourn for those losses. And while it is great comfort to people who are in that time of mourning, this beatitude, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted, I have to wonder, is that in fact what Jesus was actually talking about? You would think that the disciples in Joppa would think that when Dorcas or Tabitha, depending on if you want to go with her Hebrew or Greek names, here she was a disciple, her life overflowed with good works and compassionate acts on behalf of those in need. And she got sick, and she died. And the widows were there, and they cleansed the body, and they prepared the body for burial, as was the custom. And they were weeping, and they heard that Peter, our favorite disciple, at least he's mine because he never quite gets it, our favorite disciple is in the next town over in Lydda. And so they send two people over to get him and say, oh, go get Peter, you know, numero uno disciple. Go get Peter and we'll see what he can do. And so Peter comes and he's up in the room and the widows who are all the chief mourners, right? And they're showing him, oh, we're so happy you're here, Peter. Oh, thank you for coming. See, these are the things that Dorcas made in her life. This is her handiwork. This is just a small sample of the things she did to take care of other people. Thank you for being here for us in our time of mourning. They were bereaved people. So they would hope that Jesus was right when he said, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted." They were absolutely hopeful that Peter is here. He will comfort us in our mourning. But maybe perhaps that's not what Jesus was necessarily talking about at all. Maybe perhaps what Jesus was instead talking about was a different kind of mourning. More specifically, what it is we are mourning when we are mournful people. If we follow with the same idea that the Beatitudes build on one another, right? You have Beatitude number 1, which is the bottom rung of the ladder, which is, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And we understand that to be poor in spirit is to know that we fully must rely on God. That when we lean on our own understanding, we're kind of sunk, right? When we lean on that thing that we, when we think we have it all together, right? We're not relying on God, and we are, in fact, poor in spirit. We have lost our hold on what we believe and our belief that we truly need God. If we're building on that, then perhaps what Jesus was talking about when he said, "Blessed are those who mourn," is that we perhaps might need to be mournful people. If you translate it, it makes no, you know, take the translation right from the Greek. It makes no sense because you could, it's not a good translation, but you could say, "Blessed, happy are those who are sad." That's weird. Doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Blessed are those who mourn. Maybe what Jesus is talking about, that the next step up from realizing that you must fully rely on God, is then that you should mourn those times and those actions that keep you separated from God. We take Peter, but we take Paul's writing here in Romans. And he says, "So I find that, as a rule, when I want to do what is good, evil is right there with me. I gladly agree with the law. I gladly agree with what Jesus has taught on the inside. But I see a different law at work in my body, in my actions. It wages a war against the law of my mind and takes me prisoner with the law of sin that is in my body." How many times have we felt what Paul is feeling? How many times has our heart been in the right spot and we have felt the desire to do what is right? And yet we go and do the exact opposite. How many times have we said we'll do something and then do the opposite? How many times have we felt the call to something that Jesus, God, is calling us to and have run in the opposite direction? Maybe what Jesus was saying when he said, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted," maybe what he was actually saying was, "Blessed are you who mourn and are truly grieved over what it is you have done that has separated you from the love of God. Because you shall be comforted." Why? Because the forgiveness of sins, because the miracle on the cross, and yes, even the empty tomb. Maybe, just maybe, what Jesus calls us to, building onto we need God in everything, what he's building onto is that to be in that more right relationship, right? To be in that restored relationship with the Creator, we have to repent and truly be sorry and truly, truly mourn the times when we've turned our backs on the call and the will of God. We think about this, and it's Mother's Day, which, if we are honest, there are plenty of things we would like to say to our moms and maybe don't have the chance to. There are maybe plenty of things we would love to say to our mothers, whether they are still with us or not, that we can't bring our sinful selves to do. Maybe there's a fight you had with mom. Maybe you said something. Maybe she said something. Oh, I've had plenty of those. Maybe mom said something, did something. Maybe you did something and said something, because as granddad used to say, it always takes two to tango. And in your heart, you know you need to either ask forgiveness or offer it. In your mind, you know that's what you're called to do. In your being, you know that holding on to those grudges are just keeping you from God. What we need to mourn then is when our feet won't make the walk, our fingers won't dial the phone, our knees won't hit the ground in prayer. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Why? Because when you are mourning your sins, when you are mourning the things that take you away from Jesus, when you are mourning the things that get in the way of you having a decent relationship with your Creator, then the groundwork is there for healing to begin. Think about it in terms of bereavement. People who have lost someone, which we all have, when you've lost someone, if you don't deal with that, if you don't face it, if you don't name it, it's going to come out at some point. It is going to come out at some point. Why? Because it can't help it. Because we are called to mourn. We are called to grieve those things that keep us away from the love and light of God. When we've lost something of ourselves, identity through a job, identity through relationships, people that we know and love and care about, people that we've had a falling out with, if you don't take the time to grieve that and to mourn that, you cannot grow. You cannot heal. The same is true when we grieve our sins and we mourn those things that take us away from God. You have to mourn them so you can heal. You have to mourn them so that there's that opening for God to come in and put the balm on. Friends, it hurts. I know it hurts. I absolutely understand how much it hurts. And I also know how much our feet don't want to walk toward that. I know how much we don't want to deal with it. I know how much we as human beings do not want to walk down that path. I get it. I absolutely get it. I promise you, I get it. I would not be doing my job if I didn't tell you that you gotta go through it anyway. I would not be doing my job if I did not also remind you of the promises that have been made to you. I would not be doing my job if I didn't remind you of the second half of that beatitude. Yes, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. I remember when I was in preschool, and I went to a Missouri Synod Lutheran preschool. Incidentally, because the teacher was my babysitter's mom, right? And I remember, and it's a very few things I remember about preschool, except I started with my arm in a cast, and this conversation with Mrs. Giese. She was talking about Jesus and the forgiveness of sins and the whole nine yards, and I asked the question that every last one of us has asked at some point. A very precocious four-year-old looked up at Mrs. Giese and said, "Well, what if there's a stone of sin in my heart that is too big for God to move?" Kind of that question of, would God create a stone too big for God to move? Well, anyway. And she said, there is no stone so big. There is no sin so great that God will not love it away from you. All you need do is ask. The same is true for our pain. The same is true for those things that truly keep us away from God. And so on this second rung, we don't forget the truth of the first rung. We don't forget the truth that we learned that it is blessed to be poor in spirit, because that reminds us that we fully must rely on God. That without God and our leaning on Him, we got nothing. The next step up from that is that we need to mourn the things that keep us away from God. We need to let go of them. We need to give them to God. But we need to spend time being truly, truly sad about it. We need to spend time being truly repentant of them. Because friends, the truth is that those who mourn shall be comforted. Those who mourn shall be wrapped up in the hug of Jesus. Those who mourn, like the rest of us, do not walk alone. Amen.